Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having an absolutely fantastic day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, for this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Real quick, just a little bit of humor to start with today, like anybody really cares. The Queen of England is reportedly fearing the fallout if Meghan Markle tells and gives a tell-all interview like Princess Diana style. Oh, yeah. Remember, Princess Diana was sacrificed on a Druid worship site in an automobile, according to David Icke, after her car wrecked. This was some weird stuff that happened with Princess Diana, who is no longer with us, died a long time ago. And now we've got some problems because, you know, Prince Harry, according to a lot of researchers in England, is not Prince Charles's son, which I think we all kind of knew that anyhow. And all of a sudden, Prince Harry's had enough of this royal family nonsense or whatever's going on over there, as long with Meghan Markle. And so maybe this start unraveling some of what the dark secrets are of the royal family and what they do in the middle of the night down there in their basements over there in England. There's some strange folks, because always remember, guys, Prince Charles's great-great-great-granddaddy was Vlad the Impaler, also known as Count Dracula. Now, you guys think I'm joking about this stuff, but there's some weird stuff with the royal family that goes on over there all the time, and it's some strange, strange stuff. By the way, just to stay with this little tabloid headline theme I've just started, Alec Baldwin says that Trump supporters are responsible for the near moral collapse of this country. Now, I almost started laughing hysterically today when I read this from Alec Baldwin, because I guess he's supposed to be putting Hollywood up there as a cultural icon to basically lead the way for the rest of the population of the planet and the United States to have a moral compass. Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Baldwin. Is your moral compass before or after you're screaming and yelling in a drunken fit of rage on a video to your daughter, which we all got to watch, which was kind of ridiculous? Or is it because your brother, maybe, who's a Christian, is talking to you about Jesus and you're seeing the truth? I don't know, Mr. Baldwin, but I know one thing about it is if your moral compass is on center and you got the right way to go, somebody's been messing with your compass. And quite frankly, Hollywood, with their atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ, should never be held in front of us as a compass of any type. This new Disney movie with Star Wars with this lesbian theme to it, you know, that was basically has flopped as far as Star Wars movies are concerned, should be a good indication that the American population really doesn't want to go down this slippery slope to hell with you and your other followers in Hollywood. And how dare you be out there giving us moral vision as far as what we want to do and what we should do as a country. Are you kidding me? You guys are nuts. You guys are pro-abortion, you're pro-gay, you're pro-lesbian, you're pro-homo, you're pro-transgender, you're pro-transgender everything. I mean, you're pro-everything weird. And so, guys, just be real careful if you're watching the news right now and you're listening to these guys, because all of this stuff, again, is designed for one reason only, and the only reason these guys get pushed to the forefront is because they are Hollywood, quote-unquote, movie stars, which is a joke to me, and they get pushed to the forefront because they're being used to train your brain to believe what they're saying is true. Watch what you read. Austin, what do you think, bud?
That's really well said. I mean, because there's so much deception and lies out there in the mainstream media and what they're constantly trying to push. And as we see now, just as Dad said, Hollywood has become just a bastion for propaganda, where these individuals that most people put on this pedestal because they're, you know, Hollywood actors and they're on the big screen and they have this glamour to them and we see them all the time. And so people automatically look at them and go, oh, well, this person played in this movie, this person's this, they're popular, they're a movie star, they must be right. And so what the bankers and the globalists have done a very good job at is getting a large percentage of the real high-end movie stars to follow the liberal agenda. And in most cases, from what I've been told personally, is that pretty much the only way you advance in Hollywood to these levels in most cases is you pretty much have to do what they want you to do when you're at the bottom. Whether or not that's promote an agenda, whether or not that's talk about a topic, whether or not that's sleep with a certain person. We already know that's very prevalent. These things are very common in Hollywood, and if you pretty much don't follow the narrative, if you don't do what you're told, they pretty much just leave you at the bottom. Because remember, these producers, these most of these individuals that are at the top level that run this stuff, the bankers, they control every single aspect of what people get into, what people don't get into. That's why we'll see sometimes certain people will get a big role in a movie, it'll be a huge film, it does huge, and then they come out all of a sudden and they start talking about Christianity and Jesus Christ and constitutional rights, whatever that may be, and all of a sudden, bam, career stops, done, over, never see them in another big movie again. That's not uncommon. So you have to understand who is influencing you, what are they telling you, and is it okay? For example, I saw earlier today there was a video of Senator Stephen Sweeney, who is the president of the New Jersey Senate. He's a senator, Stephen Sweeney, out of New Jersey, and he blatantly is on camera at a mayor's meeting discussing the fact of why the religious exemption is being removed from vaccines in New Jersey. Now, they're saying that you can't, you know, pass it now, you can't basically get a religious exemption in New Jersey. There's no reason to it. And he blatantly, he goes on this video, this is from like 4 days ago, and he goes, listen, the reason why there was a religious exemption for vaccines is back in the 50s, there was aborted fetal tissue used in vaccines. We don't do that anymore. That hasn't been done in a long time, so there's no reason for a religious exemption anymore. Complete and total lie. And then the video goes on and has like five different interviews with all these top leading scientists, and they're just asking. These aren't even pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine advocates. They're just researchers and scientists. They go, which vaccines currently still today in 2019 have aborted fetal tissue? And they immediately go on to list them. You know, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, MMR, chickenpox, shingles, a couple more go on. And every single one of them, they go, yeah, it's the MRC5 human diploid cells. The MMR vaccine contains the human diploid cells, including the DNA and protein. Blatantly, still in it. Actively today, this very minute, we still speak of it. Yet, you have somebody that's in a position of authority, like Senator Stephen Sweeney, lying through his teeth, blatantly misleading the population into believing something that's not true, simply so they can push an agenda and get individuals to fall in line and do what they're told. And it's so funny to me sometimes how so many people just get wrapped up in this, well, they said it on here, they said it on here, this senator said it, this mainstream media, they would never lie to us. And you just kind of sit back and giggle. And I tell everybody all the time, I mean, if that's not the case, why in the world did ABC blatantly air 2 days straight of a gun range from 2017 and lie to us day and night, Sunday and Monday, and tell us it was the Syrian invasion by the Turkish rebels? And then we found out it was simply video footage from a machine gun shoot at Knob Creek in Kentucky in 2017. And then they came back, oh, we're sorry about that. We didn't mean to do that. Guys, they lie to push their agenda. They push their propaganda on the mainstream population, the general population, and they fish. They throw a line in, they set the hook, and they say who takes the bait. So you take it, okay, they took it. Oh, these couple people over here, they don't believe it, but it's fine. We got the main bulk of them on the hook now, and they took the bait. And this is what they continually do. For example as well, I've seen so many people still turn around and go give money to 23andMe and these other DNA research companies to find out about their ancestry. And I'm not going to lie, that's kind of cool, you know, to find out where you go back hundreds and hundreds of years, figure out where the stuff does. I mean, I know a lot of my family's still over in Germany now that we personally know over there, so I was never real interested in trying to find out, you know, everything went back there anyways. But now we find out today that 23andMe, their massive bank of human genetic data, is now paid off huge ways, as we've known for years that they've been working on trying to sell their DNA that they have, that people give them, and they turn around and they've been using it now to try to get these pharmaceutical companies on board with using it to make DNA specific medications. And now for the past 5 years, Silicon Valley an ancestry company, 23andMe, has been trying to leverage its gold mine of medical data to develop pharmaceuticals. This week, the firm sold its first pharmaceutical compound to Spanish drug maker Amaril S.A. Today, they said around 10 million people worldwide have paid 23andMe to get their genetic data sequenced, usually around $199 a pop, which has generated roughly $2 billion in revenue. Now that they're saying that they're going to generate hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue just from this one single contribution of selling this to these one pharmaceutical compound company, and they've set the precedent now to do it all across the board. Under the company's terms and agreements, consumers are specifically told they should not expect any financial benefit or intellectual property or similar rights in any research or commercial products, and that around 80% of the people that have signed up for it have agreed to let their anonymous information be used for drug research. Currently, if 23andMe's new drug candidate makes it through human trials and ends up being a blockbuster drug, the enormous profit such a discovery could entail would never end up in the hands of any of the contributors of their own DNA. Patient advocates argue these contracts are deceiving and that many consumers have no idea how profitable their personal information is. They argue that consumers are clearly willing to give up their personal profits for the greater good. And this is something that, just from the financial aspect of it, it's irritating to me that these guys are going to make billions of dollars off new pharmaceutical drugs because people have given them their own DNA and paid to have it basically sequenced. But what makes it even more disturbing is, how far is the pharmaceutical company, the pharmaceutical industry going to go with this DNA pharmaceutical gig now? Now that we've opened the door, Pandora's box, to now to start manufacturing pharmaceutical drugs via DNA specificity and going in and now and using DNA to research these drugs, the sky is the limit on how manipulated and how genetically engineered they can start making these drugs, Dad. And we've talked about it before in the past, but now that 23andMe has pretty much gotten the full green light to do so, and they essentially, from what I've read now, they've written the contract so well and so lawyer-specific that there's no loopholes in this whatsoever. They're going to make billions of dollars on the back end from these pharmaceutical drugs. The pharmaceutical companies are going to make billions of dollars from the sale of these new pharmaceutical drugs that they make. And what are the long-term effects going to be when we start manufacturing pharmaceutical drugs that are DNA specific? I mean, there's no telling how far sideways this can go, Dad, especially once you start digging into the 6G and the frequency and everything else that they're wanting to use with the Internet of Things. Where's this going to go, you think?
All right, let me make my comment on this. Let's say, for instance, I don't like Germans, which would be kind of silly, but let's say I don't like Germans. And I think Germans need to be extinguished. And I need to get as many DNA samples from Germans as I possibly can, so I can find specific drugs that target the German genome. In other words, the German-specific genes that were basically bred in Europe for thousands of years in a specific part of the world. And so I develop a drug that basically targets Germans. And basically it makes them very, very, very sick and compromises their immune system. You think, well, that's crazy, Ted. Why would you target Germans? Well, because I could target anybody. I could target blacks or Hispanics or Jews or Muslims, or Iranians, or Persians. Pick a group. You can target them. Because now you got specific DNA of specific groups with specific subsets. But let's take it another notch further. Let's say all of these subsets of DNA have specific frequencies in the higher bandwidths, and then they break down into smaller and smaller frequencies as they become more and more specific to your own DNA. In other words, let me make it more simple than that. Let's say that every single person has a specific DNA that vibrates at a certain state in certain subsets. In other words, it may vibrate at, a certain millimeter wavelength and a smaller millimeter wavelength and a smaller millimeter wavelength until after you determine the person's exact hair color, skin type, everything, all the way down. Now, stay with me for a second. This is going to get sort of complicated, but it's not. I'm going to make it real simple. So what we do now is we have a 5G network. Oh, yeah. We have a 5G network that basically can target any DNA anywhere with a basically directional antenna. And so what we have now is the ability to find a specific DNA protype, let's say with a certain genome, And we can basically target it to make sure that the person's heart stops with a certain frequency, a certain kill wave. Guys, we have that technology. But let's go another step. Let's say we're going to go ahead and put smart dust out on the planet, and we're going to make every living thing have an IP address that's going to allow every little living thing to be tracked based upon its frequency or its genetic coding or its vibratory state, which is all unique for every individual. Well, now all we have to do is put a specific frequency through a 5G network that's going to target all the Germans. All right. Yeah, that's how advanced this technology is becoming. We can specifically target subsets of individuals that we don't want to like, that we don't want on the planet anymore, and simply make them go away. You say, oh, no, they would never do that. Well, sure they did. The World Health Organization was instrumental in the development of AIDS and the distribution of AIDS in Africa, primarily reduced the population growth in Africa because it was exploding. And then it was specifically brought into New York City in order to basically kill white homosexual males, AIDS. You think, what the heck are you? Yeah, you can do the research on that. So they have, for a long time, how about all of the syphilis experiments when they were giving it to black men? The United States government did all of this to see what would happen to them and how they would die from the syphilis. Don't tell me that our government won't do crap like this because they've already done it multiple times. How about the radiation experiments? And I've listed a plethora of these things on our show before, what they've been involved with. And this is what we need to understand. Evil has no boundaries. It will go as deep as it needs to go to find its, I guess, its place where it wants to be. And so this is what we have to get, is that in the United States right now, we've got some serious weirdos in charge that are running the show. And they're running the show globally. And they're running it through their international central banks. And we have to realize that we've been lied to, like Austin says. It's all a bunch of lies. I mean, Trump authorized the Soleimani's killing 7 months ago. He did this 7 months ago. It wasn't authorized 2 weeks ago. It was 7 months ago. And now this has just come forward. He authorized this 7 months ago. Well, I thought it was because our embassy was about to be attacked. I thought this. I thought that. I thought all this. No. This is basically being done a while ago. And now we find out, and this is off of Zero Hedge, that the Mossad and the Israelis helped to target. Which is exactly what I told you a week ago, that Israeli was involved with the killing of Soleimani. This is why Benjamin Netanyahu went ape poo-poo, you know, and say, oh, we had nothing to do with it, it wasn't us, it wasn't us, it wasn't us. This is who's running the show. It's these Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian, Druidic, weirdo worshippers, Masonic Lodge people, Kabbalists. I talked about this in depth a few weeks ago. In fact, we played the show again last Wednesday if you want to hear it. This is who runs the planet. And we need to realize this. This is a Iran disaster jet setup thing that happened over here. You know, there's some issues here with all of this stuff and what's happened with this. See, years and years ago, and all of the new jets, and we see this with these 737s and some of these other planes crashing, they can be remotely controlled. They can actually, somebody can go in there and take control of this airliner, and they can also turn off the little machine in there that gives a signal out, this decoder that sends out a signal that it's a jet and not a missile or not a military aircraft. It's all part of the black box system, whatever you want to call it, inside of these airplanes. And so the thing we have going on with this is, how do we know that somebody didn't turn off that transponder, which is what it's called, the transponder telling the Iranian person who was watching it on a radar that it was a passenger jet, turn off the transponder, and they see this thing coming in as a missile or as a military aircraft, and then they target it because they only have 10 seconds to make that decision. We don't know if they did that or not. How do we know they didn't do that to try to initiate a global outcry against the shooting down of a passenger jet to try to force other countries like China now, who are condemning the actions, who are allies with Iran, to turn against Iran? Remember when we talked about Project Ajax that happened back in the early 50s, about how they intentionally overthrew the government of Iran? I mean, we used to own Iran with the Shah. We used to own them, you know, and then finally they had enough of them. They threw us out. This is back in the 70s and the 80s. Remember the Iranian hostage crisis that they had? The 52 American hostages? I remember all of that stuff that happened, because I remember I was in college when all the stuff was going on. And see, guys, it's so important to understand that we're being controlled via the international bank. Now, also, you've got to remember, too, we've got these messianic nut jobs that basically are forcing or trying to force their version of the tribulation and the rapture. And I've talked to you guys about this. You know, and it's one of those things you say, kind of say, well, you know, it's hard to believe these guys actually believe this. I'm going to cover this real quick again. These evangelical Zionist Christian nutjobs, that's what they are, all right? They believe that they can force God's hand and create the, how should I say, the prophecies to be fulfilled for the book of Revelation to be kicked in and the seals to be opened. And they believe that when the tribulation starts, they're going to be brought up to heaven in a pre-trib rapture, and they're going to stand up in heaven, and they're going to watch and applaud while all hell breaks loose on the earth and the Antichrist is unleashed. They want to do this. They want to. They have got themselves so convinced that they're going to be taken up in the first load, you know, of people being basically beamed up to heaven, I guess. And don't get me wrong, I'm a Christian. You guys know that with all my heart. And I don't know if we're going to be a pre or a mid or a post-trib rapture. All I know is that we don't need to try to force it. Whatever God's going to do, God's going to do. But these guys are convinced that they can do this, and they've done it through Zionism. And the problem is what they don't understand is this. They've been brought into Zionism via a lie, via the Scofield Bible, via Darby, via Samuel Untermeyer, who pushed all of this in the early 1900s and basically pushed the Scofield Reference Bible to the Oxford Press, another Zionist-controlled, Mossad-controlled organization. And they basically did all of this stuff because they were trying to brainwash the Christians for over 100 years, which they've done now, 150 years, that this all is true. Before the 1850s, no one ever talked about a pre-trib rapture. No one ever talked about it. And so now they want everybody to believe that this is what's going to happen because it furthers their goal of the rebuilding of the temple and the enshrining of the Antichrist in the Holy of Holies, who's supposed to cut himself with a spear of destiny and walk out like the book of Thessalonians says and declare himself God. And at that point in time, it's going to be the beginning of the rapture, they believe. So these guys are convinced. I mean, they're absolutely convinced. These basically Masonic Jewish crazy Zionists or whatever you want to call them, that we're going to basically be, you know, pulled up and they're going to create World War III. Now, they want to create Armageddon. You know, they did it. They started by they murdered this American contractor in Iraq. They blamed it on the Iranians. They're convincing or blackmailing Trump into disproportionate responses, or he's even in on it because they remember the Shabbat, which his daughter and his son-in-law are involved in, are all part of this cult that want to bring this whole mess into fruition, and they're also part of the Kabbalah, which we've talked about in depth. They want to believe that these Iranian agents are brainwashed. They're rioting at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, which they're probably Mossad operatives. They want to force Trump to commit a war crime by murdering an Iranian general. How do we know they didn't remotely hijack a Ukrainian airliner and fly it with the transponders off towards an Iranian military base into fooling the Iranians to shoot it down? We don't know that. I'm just making that as a speculation. But, you know, now they're trying and failing to orchestrate a regime change in Iran. They're trying everything they possibly do, including threatening and with more sanctions. Okay, so all of this stuff is being exposed now, and people are beginning to realize that they don't want to be involved in this crazy nonsense anymore. Because this Shabbat cult that Jared Kushner and his daughter in, they've got Trump's ear. And you got a lot of these, I'm going to be very careful because I'm not going to mention any names, because I know a lot of these people, a lot of these evangelicals who are in Trump's circle up in Washington, D.C., who are absolutely rabid, rabid Zionists who are willing to do anything they possibly can to create the rapture. So all of this stuff is happening all around us all of the time, and we're supposed to sit back and go, oh, wow, that's interesting. Guys, this is a mess, and we need to realize who's in charge and why they're doing it. Austin, what do you think?
No, very well said. And I mean, that's why we even see now something that's very odd that we've heard about for years getting set into place. And it's going to be not just at the borders to detainees, which is what it is right now. It's going to expand the pilot project at the U.S. border that now involves the collection of DNA from detainees is likely to be a reality nationwide in the future, according to one expert. Earlier this week, the U.S. government announced for 90 days It would collect DNA samples from people in immigration custody at two border crossings, Detroit's Ambassador Bridge coming out of Canada, and Eagle Pass Port of Entry in Laredo, Texas. The DNA will be collected and transferred to the FBI database, where it will be retained indefinitely and used for other law enforcement purposes. Listen to that, guys. What is the purpose of the DNA collection, and can it be used for non-immigration motives, and will certain people be affected by this? Now, as you guys know, I'm a very strong believer of keeping strong borders, of keeping people out of countries that basically don't belong there, people that want to do ill will, or people that are coming there to just basically live off the government payroll and get free food and free everything. I'm not a fan of that, nor do I support it in any way. However, this is starting to set a dangerous precedent with allowing DNA to be taken from individuals coming into the country, not because we're trying to find out who they are, but as it blatantly says right here, it's being transferred to the FBI database and will be retained indefinitely. Now, this is just at two borders, and they've already said that this is something they're looking at expanding nationwide. What happens when everybody's so accustomed to doing their facial recognition biometrics, which I've told everybody to opt out of whenever you fly in the airport currently, and everybody's so used to their real ID cards with their chip in them? It's not going to be a whole lot more when you go to the airport now to say, hey, we just need to do a mouth swab when you go through TSA. And if once you do it once, you don't have to do it again. We'll basically give you your biometric DNA card, and we'll add it on basically to your real ID. So it'll be in your system. You won't ever have to mess with it again. You'll be good to go. This is starting to see the cycle of this DNA collection, where they're going around trying to get DNA from everybody. And as Dad said, once they have this, all of this together, and then once they start rolling out a 6G network, there pretty much will be no living with these individuals once they decide they don't want you to be doing this or doing that. And it's what I talked about on Hagman in detail. Jug and I went back on Friday a lot on the context of how we've, for the longest time, we've always been intrigued just from a historical standpoint and from a biblical reference standpoint in Revelations, where it discusses basically no man will be able to buy or sell anything when that occurs in Revelations. And you know, we've always kind of looked at it in the context, how would that be possible? How would you do that? How's that even physically possible? I mean, how are you going to prevent any person in the entire world from being able to buy or sell unless they have a chip? Well, when you start looking at the DNA collection, and you start looking at what 6G is going to bring in with pinpoint accuracy of every single person, every single cell phone, every single vehicle, you're going to start bringing up everything we're seeing now with the vaccines that they've now released. They've gotten approved. By the way, I talked to this a couple weeks. I'm bringing up again that now the first vaccine basically that rewrites your DNA, so it allegedly makes you safe and healthy, and you have your, you know, resistance because it goes in and it's a DNA-based vaccine. That's already out there. They've been working on that for the last decade, and they already have it basically turnkey. And if I'm not mistaken, the FDA has approved it. I'll pull more of that up, because I've been following it for the last couple of weeks now. And then we see that down here in Florida, they're trying to vote to remove the religious exemption again. New York has already done it. New Jersey's doing it. They're trying to do it so that every person basically is going to have to be forced to get a vaccine at a young age, not going to be able to opt out of it, or you're going to have to basically homeschool. We see in Virginia now they have a bill to essentially remove parental consent from their children getting shot up with vaccines at school. Basically, as long as the child consents, they can shoot them up with a vaccine. All these things are not coincidental. They're being done together in one another, and we see what these drugs are doing, what these vaccines are doing. For example, we already knew that, you know, among the top heartburn, you know, the proton pump inhibitors, Zantac, and so forth, they were among products that were contaminated last year. We saw that. Well, now, last week on Wednesday, the FDA just announced another recall prescription forms of Retidine by two generic drug companies, Apoco Pharma and Northwind Pharmaceutical, bring the total number of Ranitidine recalls to 14 in the past 5 months. The agency also reported that Mylan Pharmaceuticals recalled 3 lots of their Nizatidine, which is a similar drug. This week's recalls are a new cause of alarm for 15 million Americans who take Ranitidine at prescription levels, and the millions more who regularly take lower doses over-the-counter versions. Zantac was once one of the best-selling drugs in the world. There is a new Zantac mechanism of action theory that suggests that when ranitidine is exposed to heat, it produces unsafe levels of nitrosamine, a human carcinogen. And basically, ranitidine is the active ingredient in Zantac. They go on to say the heartburn medication Zantac appears to produce unacceptably high levels of cancer-causing chemicals when exposed to heat for as little as 5 days. The longer it's exposed to heat, the more MDMA you generate. Now, obviously, when you realize that these things most of the time get transported on a semi-truck, and if you guys have ever been in a semi-truck or unloaded a semi-truck in the middle of the summer in Florida, you realize real quick it's literally like walking into a sauna. And so now we're seeing that these products, when they're testing them off the shelf, they're having massively high levels of nitrosamine in them, which is a known carcinogen. And so, again, another reason why we tell people to stay away the best you can from these heartburn medications is they're not healthy, they're not safe, and even if you did use them, they were never, ever designed to be used in long term. They say 1 to 2 weeks maximum on these heartburn medications, essentially to cause the stomach to be able to heal if you have an ulcer or so forth, whatever that may be. But staying on these things for years and years and years on end, and almost every person I know that has been on these type of drugs long term is starting to have serious health problems. And if they try to come off of it, they start having horrible problems with their bowels, diarrhea, indigestion, horrible heartburn that rebounds, which makes it virtually almost impossible to successfully come off of them once you've been off of them for years without a great deal of distress. And so, again, just understand, before you start going on these drugs, before you start letting people inject things into your body, know what you're doing. And if you're okay with what they're putting in your body, and you're okay with the medication that you're taking, and you're okay with the side effects that may be happening with it, then at that point, you are making a consenting decision. But don't just follow what everybody says, because, oh, you need to take this drug, you need to take this vaccine, you need to take this, you need to take that. Because as we've seen now, the FDA and the USDA and the EPA and all these alphabet companies actually were concerned about the population's health, they would have already removed high fructose corn syrup, aspartame, sucralose, all these compounds that we've known for decades that are unbelievably toxic to the human body. They would have removed them. The problem is with drugs like this, with Zantac, when you have big, giant research studies that come out and you have articles that come out basically talking about it, because it's basically a laboratory in California that discovered this month, they have to do something about it because of the public backlash they will get if they don't recall these products. So, again, glad to see this stuff's getting pulled off the shelf, but it's not going to make a huge difference in the population's usage until people start doing research on what they're putting in their body, Dad. What do you think about that?
Well, and again, you know, when you intentionally cause your body to no longer digest food by not creating acid, you decrease your body's ability to absorb nutrients. So that you can't, even if you're taking supplements, you're taking these products, unless you're taking digestive enzymes with the supplements, you can't break them down. So you don't get the vitamin, you know, the A, the C, the E, the selenium, or the multiples of the B, or all the rest of it starts going to a depletion. And let me put it to you this way. It's kind of like this. Let's say you've got a glass of water and it's filled with nutrients and vitamins, et cetera, and you start pouring it out, but you don't refill it. Eventually that water runs out. This is the same thing that happens to your body. You can look at that. You can look at those vitamins and minerals as your reserve energy, and you say, well, it's the reserve energy now that I'm pouring out of my body and I'm not replenishing it. And this is what happens when you start taking these digestive medications. Eventually, unless you're taking digestive enzymes, eventually, unless you're taking high-nutrient foods and high-nutrient supplements, you're going to have a depletion of these specific nutrients, particularly magnesium, that your body has to have. And so this is what is happening all over the place, because of these doggone proton pump inhibitors. And they're that dangerous. They're designed to be used for a few weeks until your stomach heals, and then you get off of them. But remember, in about 30% of the cases, they don't even work for 2 weeks for some people, and they get stuck on them the rest of their life, and they don't know why they feel so bad. Their fingernails are split, and their hair's falling out. It's all because of the lack of nutrient absorption. This is the primary reason that so many of these things have been linked now to these different types of degenerative diseases, including, you know, in my opinion, that's my opinion, cancer, because you can't get enough nutrients to maintain your healthy immune system. And it happens all the time. So if you're going to use this stuff, find a doctor who's willing to put you on the stuff for a few weeks, and that's it. The problem is they made this stuff over the counter. You can go buy it at Walmart or wherever you want to go buy your drugs. You could just buy it right over the counter. Proton pump inhibitors over the counter. Why'd they do that? Well, number one, that massively increases profits because now they can advertise directly to the consumer via TV. Oh, you've got acid indigestion. Take this. You're taking this without even a doctor's supervision. Now you have no idea what you're doing with it. It's going to hurt you within a few weeks. You have no idea. You start taking it. Oh, I feel better. Now I don't have acid anymore. Well, now you just keep taking it. You don't have to get a refill prescription. You don't have to do anything. It was all done on purpose, guys. That's why we got tens of millions of people taking these products. It's a major, major problem in the United States. It's like this article now is starting to find all these other side effects associated with it. Look at this also. In the U.S., angioplasty costs around $32,000. I mean, just if you wanted to do that, I don't recommend angioplasty, but sometimes people do things they do. But, you know, in other countries, it might be $6,400 or maybe a lot less than that. You know, drug makers in the U.S. are hiking prices again as the new year begins. Drug makers, including Bristol-Myers Squibb, Gilead Sciences, Biogen, Inc., hiked U.S. this prices of more than 50 drugs just this past Wednesday, bringing a new year total day drug price to increase more than 250 new drugs have their prices increased. Why do they do this? Because they can. Because the vast majority of the people now, you know, are using their insurance to pay for the drugs because they simply can't afford it any other way. And as long as the insurance is going to pay for the drugs, why not run the price up as high as we can run it up? Because they're going to negotiate the price back down. And then the poor person who really needs a drug who doesn't have insurance, they get stuck. They basically get into a situation where they're having to pay $250 a month for bioidentical estrogen. And the insurance won't cover it. Well, this is what they do. They constantly do stuff like this because why? Because they want to. They want to create as much conflict as they possibly can. And in the meantime, they want to create as much, how should I say, profit as they possibly can. So why in the world do we think any of this stuff is okay? Now they're starting to find out that people are coming down with ventricular fibrillation. They're having a real problem with it. And you know, they're saying that one of the reasons that they're aging so quickly is because their heart is starting to miss beats now. And they feel so horrible all the time. And then they talk about this. They go, well, you know, we've got a major, major problem here in the United States now because all of these people are starting to suffer from ventricular fib. Well, that's almost always a magnesium deficiency. And a lot of these people that are suffering with these, guess what? They're the one taking the proton pump inhibitors. Here's another article I just posted on the website today. It's funny we're talking about this today. Burnout has been linked with irregular heartbeat. Here's what the article says. Burnout is a term that will be familiar with most, but unlikely to have linked with any irregular heartbeat. However, scientists say this syndrome, known as vital exhaustion, like pouring that glass of water out, they're calling it vital exhaustion. I call it reserve energy, which leaves sufferers feeling excessively tired, devoid of energy, demoralized, and irritable, can be associated with a potentially deadly condition. Atrial fibrillation is the most common form of heart arrhythmia, heart rhythm disturbance. It is estimated around 17 million people in Europe and 10 million in the U.S. will have this condition by next year. It's probably even higher than that. This increases the risks of heart attack, stroke, and death. Now, they're saying here it's not fully understood, but what we do know is this. In many cases, not in every single case, it's from a magnesium deficiency in the body. And now they're talking about vital exhaustion is associated with increased inflammation and heightened activation of the body's physiological stress response. When these two things are chronically triggered, they can have serious and damaging effects on the heart tissue, which could then eventually lead to the development of arrhythmia. Guys, almost all of these things are directly associated with magnesium. Magnesium is used in over 300 biochemical reactions in the body every single day. You got to have magnesium. I hammer the magnesium brain food. Oh, gosh, I take probably 6 scoops of that stuff a day now. And I tell you what, I was starting to get a little bit of that doggone brain fog. It completely went away. Gone. No more brain fog. And it's amazing because it doesn't, as long as you have good kidney function, it doesn't make any difference. You can't get too much magnesium. Your body just clears and gets rid of it. And so it's better to have too much than not enough. The biggest thing people want to do is, got to take my calcium. No, you don't need all that calcium. That calcium stores in the body, gets in the soft tissues, gets in the arteries. Have you ever heard of hardening of the arteries, calcification of the arterial walls, especially if you don't have enough D3 combined with K2? All of this stuff is so prevalent in the United States now because of all of the supplements that people take that basically are calcium carbonate, which simply build up in the tissues, which are junk. And this is something we need to be aware of. If you're going to take calcium products, you need to take a really high-quality product that your body can use, not store in your soft tissues. Paul Bragg wrote a book. You can get it for free online. It's called The Shocking Truth About Water. And it goes into detail about how people drink mineralized water and take calcium supplements, and they turn their arteries to stone. and how doctors have actually cut their latex gloves while doing cardiac bypass surgery because the arteries are so hard and so brittle and so filled with calcium or rock. I've got a video of me on the website actually cleaning out my distillation system, pulling the calcium carbonate out of my distiller tank and crumpling it up in front of the camera, showing you how hard it is. It's like a razor blade. It's unbelievably hard, and it builds up in the arteries. You don't need all the calcium. The body uses calcium like it does water in a radiator or an automobile. It recycles it over and over and over and over again. The magnesium is like the gasoline in the fuel tank. It gets burned over and over and over again. You've got to have large amounts, much larger amounts of magnesium than you do calcium in your diet. And the magnesium is something that's so overlooked. Now they're talking about burnout linked with irregular heartbeat. Well, yeah. Magnesium deficiencies. Almost everybody is deficient in it. I take the magnesium capsules every day. I take the magnesium brain food every day. And guys, it's made a huge difference in how I feel and get the brain fog. That was the pits, by the way, trying to do a talk show with brain fog. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And so this thing completely took care of it years and years ago. So guys, remember magnesium, powdered multiple B vitamins, vitamin C, D3, K2, iodine. All of those things are important. If you start getting sick, you can take some astragalus. But if you take the astragalus, guys, if you're over 40, you make sure you take that astragalus with prostate support because it can inflame the prostate. Really important. If I take 2 astragalus, I'll take 6 prostate support. See, well, that sounds ridiculous. Okay, well, do what you think you need to do then. But I tell you what, guys, you can stay really healthy all of the time. And guys, they're going to start targeting our DNA. And it'll all depend on how strong our DNA is, how much of it it can withstand. Remember that. That's why when I did the show on the blood of Christ, to completely change topics here on this, I talked about how his DNA, the blood of the Lamb, the frequency of God Almighty in which we were created, is continually renewed in us through the power of prayer and because of the covenant we have with God through Christ on the cross. And this is why it's so important that we understand who and what we are in Christ Jesus. And that we've got to be prepared for all of this stuff because the world, they're coming out, NASA's now saying, and the Navy has now said that if we release our UFO files and the stuff that we know, it'll really mess up national security, okay? Well, we're going to have disclosure like we did thousands of years ago when the Bible told us we weren't alone. Gosh, we've already known that we've got other things in this universe besides us. And they are really mad because God created you and me in his image and not them. And not only are they jealous of us, they hate us because you know, we've got souls and they don't. So this whole thing is interesting to me when you see what the real world is all about with the Druidic worship and the Kabbalah and the snake in a tree and all the weird stuff these guys believe. Guys, it's important you keep your heart and your mind focused on Jesus Christ, for he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And when he said on Calvary, it is finished, he meant simply, it's done. He's finished it. And guys, all we have to do is believe in him, and then we have eternal life as soon as we do that through Christ Jesus, because we're in covenant with the Most High God. Remember, this is all about a spiritual battle in unseen realms. The Bible tells us that, and we need to remember that. What do you think, Austin?
That was really well said, and it's ironic when you hear stuff like that, when they talk about, you know, oh, the alien disclosure, or we can't say because it's national security. It's always funny how the people that hide everything and the people that run everything and the people that push the propaganda and the rhetoric in the direction that they want you to follow their narrative are always the ones that get to decide what the people can and can't know. I mean, you got to be living under a rock now if you don't think there's actually something else out there besides just our planet. I mean, everybody's seen videos from all over the place before where you've had these lights up in the sky and these swarming ships, whatever they are, running around, zigzagging, bobbing all over the sky, then they disappear. Dad's seen it before. I've seen it before. I mean, we're not on drugs. We're not running around, oh, this is a spaceship. No, I mean, I've seen it. Some light pops up, and all of a sudden it jets one way, and it jets another way in the sky, and then it goes up and it disappears. Not a plane. I mean, come on. There's stuff floating around. And the thing about it is, it's not a big deal. They've intentionally made it a big deal because they've continually covered up and lied to us so much now that the biggest problem they know is that if they actually disclosed it, so many people are going to get irate the fact that we've been lied to for so long. Like Dad's made the analogy before. They pretend like the United States population's a bunch of mushrooms. They leave us in the dark and shove a bunch of poop on us and tell us to eat it and like it and be quiet. That's what they do. This is what you need to believe. This is what you need to read. This is what you need to know. That's it. You don't need to know anything else. I mean, for example, they're still pushing the narrative of fluoride. I can't even begin to imagine how unbelievably mad the population of these United States would be if, say, Fox News came out with a full expose and say, hey, listen, fluoride's a neurotoxin. I mean, it's a chemical byproduct, basically, of aluminum phosphate production. Unbelievably toxic element. There's no useful purpose, positive whatsoever, in the human body. We messed up. Sorry. Don't put fluoride in your water. Don't use fluoride toothpaste. Don't use fluoride mouthwash. It's unbelievably toxic to you. The entire population would come unglued. Are you kidding me right now? This is what you've been telling us? And what's ironic now is another study's been released showing how fluoride can contribute to degenerative eye disease now. This stuff just keeps getting better and better at how toxic it is. The study published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health presented evidence of fluoride exposure contributing to degenerative eye diseases. The team researchers from Ireland looked at fluoride exposures linked to eye conditions through stimulating or inhibiting the biological pathways associated with cataracts, age-related macular degeneration, and glaucoma. These eye conditions remain the leading cause of eye disease and blindness worldwide. The researchers concluded that fluoride inhibits certain important antioxidant activities as well as massively enhancing oxidative stress. These findings suggest an association between fluoride exposure, eyesight loss, and other inflammatory diseases such as pulmonary diseases, neurodegenerative diseases, neurodevelopment disorders, cancer, and multiple sclerosis. Based on the evidence presented in this study, it can be concluded that fluoride exposure may be added to the list of identifiable risk factors associated with degenerative eye diseases. In another related investigation that was recent as well, the team also found that fluoride exposure in pregnancy and early infancy can lead to chronic disease in both long and short term. Amid superficial claims of fluoride's role in preventing tooth decay, internal documents in the past have quickly pointed out fluoride was just a fertilizer industrial byproduct that was added to municipal water treatment. There's been no significant research ever linking fluoride to preventing cavities or tooth decay. Ever. Do your own research on that. There were like two research studies they did that essentially they mildly checked to see what would happen in basically individuals if they used fluoride treatment for a short period of time, and they basically went in and changed their dietary habits, all this stuff, and then they came back in and said, oh yeah, fluoride basically stops cavities, you know, we did like a two-week research study. It's definitely true now. We need to put in the water supply. What's crazy is that most people still to this day don't realize that dental fluorosis, a defect of tooth enamel caused by excessive fluoride intake during the first 8 years of life, is skyrocketing in the United States. Dental fluorosis is more just a cosmetic issue. It permanently damages the enamel and clearly demonstrates the toxicity occurring in the body. The scientific literature has also documented fluoride's damaging effects on reproductive health. 2014 study showed a link between fluoride exposure and male infertility in mice, with data showing that sodium fluoride impaired the ability of mice's sperm cells to normally fertilize the egg. You guys, you could go on and on and on and on and on with fluoride. I could literally do a show on this, and so could Dad. And yet, my mind just goes out when I talk to somebody. And they go, oh yeah, we use our fluoride toothpaste every day. Well, and I go, you know, fluoride's a neurotoxin. It's a byproduct from fertilizer production. Oh no, my dentist has told me it's really good for his teeth. You know, we keep doing that. And, you know, he keeps having cavities. Not sure why, but we just keep doing the dental, you know, the fluoride treatments. We're hoping it's going to work. And you'll sit there and put more research studies up. And they go, oh no. I just keep using my fluoride. I know it's good for him. And I'm like, golly, can you get any more brainwashed? I feel sorry for these people sometimes. And you can speak the truth. You can show them the truth. And you can put it right in front of them. But their minds have been so clouded by the lies and the propaganda that they just keep believing the lies. And also, too, we've talked about as well in other research studies showing that fluoride can actually calcify the pineal gland. Which is ironic because the pineal gland produces melatonin, which can help you sleep. The pineal gland, too, can also give you more insight as far as to more open reasoning and open deductive reasoning where you kind of go, okay, this is coming, this is going on, this is happening right now, this is causing this, this has to be the reason why. Dental fluorosis is a national problem and it's growing every single year. Children's teeth are falling out because they're getting exposed to too much fluoride, but yet we're going to turn around and say fluoride prevents cavities? I've never used fluoride my entire life. Dad would never let me use it. Thank goodness. I didn't know anything when I was younger. And good toothpaste, good mouthwash, no fluoride treatments. I've never used fluoride my entire life, ever, ever. Have yet to have a single cavity. So I'm a textbook example on the fact that fluoride does not prevent cavities. What prevents cavities? Not drinking soda every single day. Not eating gummy sugar candy every single day. Drinking adequate water and keeping your teeth cleaned out every single day. Using a good quality toothpaste like the toothpaste that we have and using a good quality mouthwash like we have every single day and practicing good hygiene and staying away from known compounds like high fructose corn syrup that directly have been linked to cavities. That's what prevents cavities, guys. But see, for some reason, a lot of the American population has grown accustomed to this lack of accountability. This is something that's gotten really bad here in the United States, I'll be honest with you. We don't want to be accountable for anything. We don't want to be accountable for our health. We don't want to be accountable for our teeth. We don't want to be accountable for our actions. We don't want to be accountable for any of the responsibility duties that are being placed on us from a constitutional standpoint. What I mean by that is taking care of and protecting the Constitution, representing the Constitution, maintaining our rights. Nobody wants to be responsible for that. We want to defer it onto somebody else. Oh, I'm not responsible for my teeth. My dentist takes care of that. He gives me my fluoride treatment. Fluoride takes care of that. I don't have to do anything. Oh, I don't have to care about my diet. I don't have to watch what I eat. I can eat sausage and cupcakes and Twinkies and soda all day long. That's fine. My doctor will fix it. If I have a problem, he'll just give me a pill and it'll make it better. These are things that the American population, we've lost self-sustainability. We've lost the ability to be self-sufficient. And until we can garner that again and we can take a step back and say, hey, I'm responsible for my security. I'm responsible for my family's security. The sheriff's department is going to take 20 to 45 minute response time to get here. I need to have adequate lighting outside my house. I need to have an alarm system. And I need to have the ability to defend my house and my family with deadly force if I feel I need to do so. I need to be responsible for my family's health, their diet. You are the, I'm talking to guys right now. If you're the leader of your house, if you're the head of your household, it's your responsibility to not allow certain foods in your house. Flat out. You can't defer that responsibility and say, well, my wife likes to bring cupcakes and ice cream home every night, and I know the whole family's getting obese, but, you know, we really like our ice cream every single night in front of the TV. No. That's not a responsibility you get to defer, guys. That's a responsibility that you put on your shoulders. And you say, hey, babe, listen, the Hale family's getting sick. We're all having issues with our diet right now. We need to get back in shape. We're cutting out the ice cream. We're cutting out the cupcakes. If the stuff comes home, it's going in the trash. Don't bring it home. It's funny, back years ago when Lana and I were first married and she was kind of understanding how strict I get sometimes, and this is back when I was real strict, and I was actually in contest prep for a diet. A lot of people don't know this story, but I bring it up just because it's ironic. And I asked repeatedly, I said, I'm 6 weeks out from a show, diet just tightened up unbelievably tight. You can eat, if you want to eat something, you can eat it. Put it in the back freezer or eat it when you're out and about. Well, I come home one day from Publix, she comes home from Publix, and the whole fridge in the kitchen is full of all this ice cream, this organic ice cream. It was like buy one, get one. And I looked at it and I said, how are you going to put this in the house right now? I said, I'm like super carb depleted. I'm prepping for a show. I don't need ice cream in the house. If you want it, take it over to your parents' house. Blah, blah, blah. We had a big argument about it. You know where the ice cream ended up? In the trash. And we had a huge blowout. But the problem was we later sat down and communicated further, and I said, listen, if you want to eat that right now, I'm okay with that. Your weight's not an issue. That's not an issue. But leave it out of the house. Make sure I can't see it right now when I have a goal of something I'm trying to accomplish. And she did, and we both agreed on that. And then later on after the show, we made sure we had times to go out and get a meal occasionally. But just bringing that up, I want to make sure you guys know this isn't something that you guys just struggle with. I've struggled with it. Everybody struggled with it. But at some point in time, if you want to be responsible for your health, your supplement intake, your diet, you have to take the first initiative step and say, hey, I'm going to start the family on the Ultimate Multiple, whether it's the powder, the chewables, or the capsules. I'm going to make a difference. I'm not going to allow this food in the house anymore. I'm going to make sure everybody's getting out and walking for, you know, a quarter of a mile a day or doing exercise in the backyard, whatever it may be. Start the initiative and be self-sufficient and don't rely on anybody else for anything except for God Almighty. He's the only one you need to be relying on, because the government's not going to help you, the dentist isn't going to help you, and the doctor sure as heck aren't going to help you. And understand that, and the more we become like that, the better off we'll be, Dad.
Well, that's exactly right, Austin. In fact, my grandmother put a plaque together that said, Zwei Leben stützen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie, which means there's two fundamental principles in life that can never be broken. Prayer, you got to pray like it's all up to God, and work, and you got to work like it's all up to you. And that includes your diet, that includes your health, that includes your supplements, that includes what you're eating. And if you've got a problem with your diet and you're trying to lose some weight, pray about it. Say, Lord, help me with this. You know, I can't handle this on my own. You know, I'm having a hard time with this. Talk to your spouse about it. Like Austin said, if they're bringing stuff home. You know, I told my wife the other night, I said, I've gained about 4 or 5 pounds. I said, I got to get it back off again. I need you to help me with this. She said, sure, I'll be happy to. Be open about it. You know, don't wait until you're 40, 50, 60, 80, 100 pounds overweight and decide you want to do something. I mean, if you have to do something at that point, it's okay. It's glad you're getting started with it. But it's a whole lot easier to say, well, I've gained 5 pounds. I need to drop it back off. So it's so important, guys, that you stay disciplined in every area of your life. Get my CD series, Maximum Success, How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free. It's on our website. We only have a few of those left. You know, we'll sell those out. We probably won't redo them because, you know, the CDs have gone the way of the condor. So, but guys, it's so important that we all work together to try to help each other and to edify each other. That's why I thank you for getting your multiple vitamins and your toothpaste from me. Whenever I say toothpaste, I mean, I think if we make a dollar on a tube of toothpaste, that's it. It's not because I need a dollar. It's because I want you off the fluoride. It's that important to me. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Gosh, good show today. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Austin, go ahead and finish it up.
Absolutely, bud. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's a war on for the truth and the information right now. We see that every single day. So thank you again for signing up for our free weekly newsletter. Thank you for getting this information out here. We try to do the best we can every single day to just get this info out so people can wake up, make healthy changes, make lifestyle choices that are different, and progress on and further and make a difference in everybody's life around them. So thank you for supporting HealthMasters.com. If you need anything, be sure to call us 1-800-726-1834 or go on the website and check out HealthMasters.com. Lots of different specials we have running right now, including the product of the week, the last day for the zinc glycinate. And be sure to vote for what you want to see win tomorrow on the front page of HealthMasters.com. So thank you again for your support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay prepared always, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.